New numbers show inflation at a 40-year high. What is fueling that rise? And we'll look at how the Federal Reserve might react.
If inflation continues to persist at these levels, it tells us that the Fed has to get interest rates much, much higher in order to make real rates positive, which is the only way to sort of weaken demand enough to get inflation back down.
Plus, what a strong dollar means if you're traveling to Europe this summer. It's Wednesday, July 13th. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. The inflation rate has hit a four-decade high. The consumer price index rose 9.1% in the 12 months ending in June, according to the Labor Department. That outstripped May's 8.6% rate. WSJ economics reporter Gabe Rubin says prices rose broadly across the economy.
There were not a ton of glimmers of hope in this report. Inflation was shown to be pretty broad-based in June, with increases especially hitting the energy sector, especially in gasoline prices, and shelter prices were way up as well. Rent had its largest single-month increase in inflation since 1986, and mortgage prices were up as well, even though we expect to see those tempering in the long term due to the Fed's rate-rising campaign. If you're looking for small amounts of hope, you could find it in the fact that airline tickets dropped by 1.8% month over month, but don't get too excited because that follows the largest increase on record in May when prices went up 18.6% over the prior month.
Stocks dropped and bond yields jumped following the inflation report, but recovered some ground throughout the day. The Dow ended the day down 0.7%, the Nasdaq slipped 0.15%, and the S&P fell just under 0.5%. Our markets reporter Hannah Miao says investors are already expecting the Fed to continue tightening monetary policy.
After the report came out, some bets that the Fed would lift rates by a full percentage point actually increased, according to CME Group's tracker. So that just reflects that market participants are seeing the potential of even greater rate hikes. Last month in June, the Fed raised rates by 75 basis points, which was the biggest hike since 1994. And June's report basically locked in what investors believe will be another 75 basis point hike this month, at least, and some see now a full percentage point.
Airline stocks dropped after the data showed that airline fares fell in June following a jump in recent months. Delta stock ended the day down 4.6%, despite an earnings report that showed a $735 million profit in the second quarter. The airline says it recouped the rising cost of fuel by charging higher fares. Delta says it's also on track for profits in its third quarter as the summer travel boom extends into the fall and winter. Meanwhile, the Senate has confirmed Michael Barr for a seat on the Federal Reserve's governing board. With a 66-28 vote, the former Treasury Department official rounds out the seven-member board. He's confirmed to serve a 10-year term. Barr's record suggests that he might restore some of the financial rules that were eased during the Trump administration. Senators also confirmed Barr for a 4-year term as the central bank's vice chair for supervision. The Biden administration is urging pharmacists to keep filling prescriptions for drugs that can be used in abortions. In guidelines released today, the Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights warned that refusing to dispense drugs used for medication abortion and other medical conditions might violate federal anti-discrimination laws. But the guidelines stop short of asserting that federal anti-discrimination law protects patients' access to medication abortion, which some state laws ban or restrict. The guidance also doesn't address whether pharmacists and other healthcare providers can refuse to provide abortion services because of their religious or moral beliefs. And Netflix says it's teaming up with Microsoft for its new advertising-backed streaming plan. The streaming giant said Microsoft offers flexibility to innovate on both the technology and sales side, as well as providing strong privacy protections for their members. Netflix had been in discussions with other advertising partners, including Comcast and Google, since announcing its intentions for an ad-supported tier in April. Coming up, the Federal Reserve has a mission of bringing down inflation without triggering a recession. After the break, how the latest inflation numbers add to its challenges.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
Despite today's sky-high inflation figure of 9.1% for June, the stock market didn't take a dive, and that may be because investors had already anticipated a bad report. And there have also been some signs that market sentiment on inflation may be improving. But is this just rosy talk? And how much of a challenge does inflation still pose to the Federal Reserve? In his recent column, WSJ's chief economics commentator Greg Ipp warns of wishful thinking about inflation and a possible recession. And he joins me now. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Daniela.
Greg, there's been a lot of talk about inflation maybe hitting its peak. What do you think when you look at the numbers that you see today?
The actual inflation numbers are still quite bad. The June year-on-year inflation rate was 9.1%. The core inflation rate, which excludes food and energy, was still 5.9%, which is very high. The month-over-month inflation rates, which tell us just what happened in the last month, were also much higher than Wall Street expected. So across the board, we see really no let-up in these very serious inflation pressures. That's quite at odds with some of that more optimistic sentiment that you've seen in the markets.
Let's talk about that optimistic sentiment in the markets. Where have you seen that recently? Tell me about some market indicators.
Well, if you look at sensitive commodity prices, you know, like copper, like crude oil, even some food commodities, they've come down a lot in the last month. Lumber, for example, is down by roughly half since early this year. And I suppose that's one indication that the markets at least see less inflation ahead. You could also look at bond markets where there are particular types of bonds which are indexed to future inflation, and you can compare those to regular bonds and infer what investors think inflation is going to be. And that number has also dropped. So you see some sentiment indicators that inflation is going down. But I don't think you really kind of want to take that to the bank, so to speak.
The Central Bank of America, the Federal Reserve, of course, has a tool to cope with inflation, and that's the interest rate. Last month, the Fed raised rates by 0.75%, and some analysts are saying the Fed may hike it even higher this month. These dramatic raises could trigger a recession, which the Fed has said it doesn't want to do. Could you see a world where the Fed backs off raising rates if it's worried about the risk of a recession?
Inflation is way too high. It's 9%. It's almost 6%, even if you take out food and energy. And the Fed wants to get inflation down. And so the mere fact that the economy could be heading into a recession is not reason enough for the Fed to back off. They have to see the inflation numbers come down. It's not like the Fed wants to cause a recession. But in the old days, if a recession came along, it was almost like by accident. You could say it was a policy error. The Fed tightened too much or didn't cut interest rates in time. But today is different. If there's a recession, well, it's unfortunate, but it's not really an error in the sense that the Fed may believe it is necessary to get inflation back towards its 2% target.
So cutting inflation is a higher priority than avoiding a recession for the Fed.
Absolutely. The Fed has two mandates, full employment and stable prices. But there are times like today when those two mandates are in some sense in tension with each other, is that the steps that they have to take to get stable prices back may at least temporarily not be compatible with full employment. Unfortunately, the tough reality is that it may take higher unemployment to finally whip inflation back into shape. That's at least what history tells us, and it's kind of what the current economic data tells us.
So for people wondering if the Fed is going to keep on raising rates, we're already seeing some indicators like bond yields going up, mortgage rates going up. Have those rates risen enough for the Fed to conclude it has tightened its policy sufficiently?
It's definitely the case that interest rates have gone up a lot. Anybody who's out there shopping for a home knows this, because suddenly mortgage rates are around 5 to 6% instead of 3 to 4%. And you're already seeing people backing away from like home purchases because of that. And the Fed has raised its own short-term interest rate, and it's given us fairly clear signals that they intend to keep on raising it in the months ahead. So we know that Fed monetary policy is tightening, but does that mean it's actually tight in an absolute sense? Or is it just not quite as loose as it used to be? Well, one way you can answer this question is looking at interest rates relative to inflation, and we call that the real interest rate. Now, if inflation actually does turn out to be 2%, then interest rates today are above 2%, and therefore real interest rates are positive. And so, yeah, maybe the Fed actually has achieved a moderately tight stance of monetary policy. But what if inflation actually turns out to be 4%? Then today's interest rates are actually negative in real terms. And that doesn't really tell us that monetary policy is sufficiently tight. And so if inflation continues to persist at these levels, it tells us that the Fed has to get interest rates much, much higher in order to make real rates positive, which is the only way to sort of weaken demand enough to get inflation back down.
Greg, when it comes to a recession, we've seen some mixed signals. And I was wondering if you could talk to us about some of those signals and see if we can get from them any kind of prediction of whether a recession is on the way.
Sure. Well, on the negative side, we've seen gross domestic product decline in the first quarter, and it probably declined in the second quarter. On the positive side, though, payroll job growth is extremely strong. We've never actually seen those two things at the same time, falling GDP and strong payroll growth. And it makes it very hard to know precisely what's going on. But I have seen some other indicators of the job market, such as the number of people asking for unemployment insurance that are on the way up, that tell us that maybe the job market isn't quite as strong as those payroll figures are telling us. So while I don't think we're in a recession now, I do see some data points that are tending in the direction of a recession. So keep your eye on that.
That's the Wall Street Journal's chief economics commentator, Greg Ipp. Greg, thank you.
Thanks.
And finally, the euro has slid to near parity with the U.S. dollar. The last time the two currencies were valued the same was in 2002. While that doesn't mean flights to Europe will become cheaper, WSJ travel reporter Jacob Passy says American tourists will reap the benefits once they land.
The prices you see on menus or, you know, at a luxury store or something like that are going to be what essentially you're paying in dollars, which not only does that mean your money's going further than it once did, but it's also, it makes things nicer. I know that sounds silly, but you're not having to do those mental gymnastics of calculating on the spot what you're actually paying in dollars. You can pretty much be assured that it's essentially what you're paying in euros, which is a big deal.
Americans will likely get the most bang for their buck on souvenirs, domestic flights within Europe, and hotels in less popular tourist destinations like Croatia or Portugal. And Passy says paying attention at checkout is an easy way to get the most out of the strength of the dollar.
When you pay with credit card at the terminal, it's going to give you the option to pay on the spot in euros or in dollars. You want to, generally speaking, choose euros. That may seem a little counterintuitive because you might figure, well, I might as well pay dollars because then I know exactly what I'm spending. And that is true. However, your bank or credit card company will probably get a better exchange rate than the payment processor you're working with at whatever store you're at or restaurant. So you want to choose the local currencies.
And that's What's News for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.